From misspelled tattoos to exes, we all have things from our past we wish we had done differently. But today, we're going to share some tips to help you have no regrets when it comes to your finances.
Hey, welcome to the Talking Sense podcast. I'm Mark Osorio.
And I'm Teresa Arago. We're financial advisors, and if there's one thing we understand, it's that money can be confusing.
So get ready, because we're breaking down what you don't know about money today on the Talking Sense podcast.
Thank you for joining us today. And I'm just going to be honest, before we even get started, when we saw the topic, no regrets, I had to laugh because my husband has a huge tattoo across his back that says no regrets. Thankfully, it's spelled right.
Isn't that how this whole meme came about? Is somebody that got the tattoo misspelled?
And it was misspelled, yes. And so there's this meme going around, and it's hilarious because it's also no regrets.
Yes.
And then it's misspelled, which obviously they had to have regretted. But
is Joey's spelled correctly?
It is spelled correctly. Now, granted, it's huge. Again, I mean, I don't know if he was maybe part of a gang at one point in his life. I don't know. But okay. No, I'm just kidding. But it's huge. So I always tease him about it. And we jokingly say no regrets all the time in our family. So, you know, for me, this was a very poignant topic to cover outside of the financial realm.
Okay. Well, if you need somebody to run a background check, I know a guy.
So. That's good to know, but no, we're good. So tell me something, you know, from your past, because I love to make fun of you. Okay. What is something, if you could go back and change, and that you would, what's one regret you have?
So this is one that goes back to my childhood. I mean, I'm probably scarred for, this and many other things. But my regret was not getting on Space Mountain at Disneyland at the age of 4.
You've carried this with you?
I have. Okay. And it was traumatic, probably still, because my dad still brings it up. And it's like, man, remember when you made me stand in line for like 2.5 hours for this thing?
Oh.
And then at the very, very end, literally when it was our turn to go,
you chickened out.
Yeah. I was like, yes, dad, I remember.
So when we went, one of my kids wanted to, and I was like, look, you're not going to fall off of it. What's the worst that could happen? And we have the photo, and it's like, my daughter looks like she's kind of scared, but having fun. And my son's face is literally just like wide eyed, staring down the barrel of a gun, like, whoop. So I'm sorry you missed that. Have you gotten to go back and ride the ride?
Not to Disneyland. I did go to Disney World and I rode everything, I'm pretty sure. Yeah. So yes, I feel like I was making up for, that lost experience.
Good. Well, today we're going to give you 5 tips to help you live with no regrets in your finances. We're not necessarily talking about your past mistakes. Let's move on from those. But we're going to ask you to learn from other people's mistakes. And we've done some research about different things that people have said, man, I wish I had done this differently. And most of them kind of revolve around the same basic topic, but they're different aspects of it. So that's kind of where we're going today. The first one that came up consistently was not saving, that whole concept of living paycheck to paycheck. You know, the younger you are, the more disposable income you have. So why not take some of that and set yourself up to win immediately? And, and there's a few different things you can do. So talk through some of those, Mark.
Yeah. First of all, I was going to say, I might play devil's advocate here in a second, but yes. So one of the first things that you can do is obviously have an emergency fund. That helps you so much, mainly because we believe that that the last thing that you want to do is carry debt or incur debt. And having an emergency fund allows you to avoid any kind of
minimize that unnecessary debt. Because there are some things that you're not typically going to have enough money to buy a whole house, but you could maybe fix your car and not have to incur debt for that. Or dental work is one of those that I know a lot of people will get on some sort of payment plan for, and you're often going to pay some sort of APR for that, some sort of interest rate.
Yeah. Emergency dental procedure I'm probably going to need to have here in a few days.
Oh, so that one means something to you.
Yeah. I've got this one tooth. It's just, man, I don't know what's going on with it, but it's like really sharp. So we'll see. We'll see what happens there. But definitely emergency funds are a huge help in that area. However, one thing that I am going to maybe disagree a little bit on is being younger necessarily doesn't mean having more disposable income, because it's also, your salary is at the lowest, basically, hopefully, that it's ever going to be. And, for example, for me, whenever I graduated from college, it was I was at the worst, I guess, time financially. I was barely making it. It was it was pretty bad. And for me, it kind of made it to where I was using credit cards, you know. Mm-hmm. And one thing that did get right, thankfully, back to our first point there, is that I did try to keep savings, mm-hmm. right, for big emergencies. But the way that I did it was by using credit cards. It was like, okay, I'm going to mm-hmm. build these savings, and then, but for other expenses, you know, for the expenses that I would have used those savings on, I'm going to use my credit card so I can keep these savings.
Mm, okay. Okay. Yeah. So definitely having emergency savings helps. And I will say, when I think of younger equals more disposable income, I'm thinking of those that are like preteen or in college where you don't gotcha. Have a lot of expenses, because you can start a Roth IRA at 16 if you're working, or 15 if you're working. Yep. So, and that's the other thing, is a Roth IRA. Mm-hmm. So you can actually start one as soon as you have what's called earned income. So you can start yep. those really young. I've actually got a 10-year-old as a client who has a Roth IRA, because they have a family business. She has earned income. Whoa. So she's contributing to her Roth IRA already. She's going to be set up wonderfully. Yes. Yes. So, you know, work towards not living paycheck to paycheck. Maybe, you know, I know we all have things that we spend money on that we feel like are necessary, but when we really get down to it, we can go without maybe one of those things for a period of time and let that build up. So that's the first point. Our second one, you know, the second thing that people went, man, I wish I hadn't done this differently, was frivolous spending. And this is impulse buying. And I'm just going to own that I am coming out of an impulse buying, so to say, period. I think, I hope I'm not the only one, but when COVID had us stuck at home, there were a lot of things that I went, man, I wonder what I could do to fix this. I wonder what I could do to fix that. And I would get on Amazon and mm-hmm. I would order it, because I couldn't go shopping and I was trapped in my home all day. So I needed to make my space better. And I ended up actually overspending and mm-hmm. buying things that ultimately I didn't need. Wonderful example. They had these spacers that you could wear under your mask, so that, because it drives me crazy when it's up against my face. Oh. So when we had to wear masks, there were these like plastic spacer things, and they had great reviews. I bought a ton of them. I don't know why I bought a ton of them. I mean, like 50. Okay. I know we have a lot of people in our house, but for some reason I bought a bunch of them and we didn't use a single one of them.
No way.
They were cumbersome to use. So well, we never used a single one of them. Oh, so, you know, if I had taken some time to just research a little better and pause, mm-hmm. I probably wouldn't have bought them in the first place. And a lot mm-hmm. of us do that. We buy things in the moment because we're having an emotional day, and then later on we don't even use it. So that impulse buying, frivolous spending, that's a big one. And there's a couple other ways of frivolous spending too, and we've got a couple more listed here. Mark, why don't you go yeah. into those and save me?
Well, the main one that I fell for was, you know, buying a car, the first car that I bought on my own. And mm-hmm. it was a really nice black GTI. If there's any car fans out there, you'll know what that means. But it's essentially just a cool, fast car. And you know, I think the last car that I had before that was this old 2003 Toyota Camry. And I was like, family car, like, come on. So I bought this thing and got into debt while I was, you know, already, you know, mm-hmm. had already some credit card debt, but I was like, oh, I got my first job, things are good, and I need a, you know, a good reliable car. So definitely not what I needed to do at the time. And but yeah, I mean, it's you know, this frivolous spending, and it took me, you know, a while to get over it, because what happens is that you end up you're kind of in this vicious cycle.
Yeah. Trade right. it in, you get another one, you trade it in, you get another, and you keep carrying that debt. Yeah. And I will say also, eating out, it can be, not for everybody, yeah. but for some people it can be. When I met my husband, I was trying to help him get his budget in order. And I remember looking at his expenses one month and I said, Joseph, you are one person. You know, basically he was there most of the time by himself. I said, you spent $400 just on fast food. I mean, not even counting groceries, not counting other things for the home, just fast food in a single month.
Can't say that I haven't done that before.
And so that's something that if you're struggling to get your budget under control, that might be a great way to start, is maybe just limit how often you eat out, have a plan for that instead of kind of going out of there. And that leads us to our next kind of thing that people wish they'd done sooner.
Yes, not having a budget.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, thankfully, yeah, well, I say thankfully, that is something that I started doing whenever I got my first job, because I was really, you know, in a hurry to move out of the house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Move out of mom's. And so I was like, okay, you know, what is the amount, the monthly amount that I can afford? And so I looked that amount up. And so I was working on that and working on, okay, how am I going to, you know, pay off my credit cards and that kind of thing. And I still definitely went over that mm-hmm. my budget, but I did it consciously, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's the key, is if you know, if you think about the number of dollars that have come through one hand and out the other without any real thought, it's a little scary at my age. I'm just going to be honest when I think about that. You know, one thing I used to do that I kind of dropped and I'm having to pick back up is balancing your checkbook. Mm-hmm. This goes back to fraud too, because it's so easy for people to get your banking information nowadays. You've got your stuff is out there and it can happen. So balancing your checkbook, balancing your credit card statement every month and making sure that you know what those purchases are is another way to help yourself with budgeting as well.
Okay, so real quick, for all our Gen Zers and millennials out there who have never seen a checkbook and don't know what it means to balance a checkbook, what does that mean?
You're right. So look through what your balance was at the beginning of the month. And, you know, if you're not actually keeping a ledger, a list of all your expenses, at least go through your statement and say, okay, what did I spend on different things? You know, kind of as a pulse check of how your spending went the month before. You know, you've got your budget. And then you pulse check, how did I do with my budget this month compared to what I anticipated? So thank you for clarifying and making me feel old. So our next point, and we've kind of touched on this, is trading in upside down vehicles. Yes. I did it. I think everybody's done it, where you buy a vehicle, you feel like you need another vehicle, you need to trade it in. And so you convince yourself to go take it, but your vehicle's not worth what you owned. So now the new vehicle has additional debt, and it's not worth what you owe. And you can create a vicious cycle. We tell the story, there was a police officer who had a very stressful job. And anytime he went into one of those days where he had a very stressful day, he would go trade in his vehicle. That was kind of his stress relief. And he had a mortgage payment for a car payment.
The highest car payment we've seen.
Yes. So it was just, and it's a very vicious cycle to get into. So be cautious of that. Go ahead and just pay your vehicle off. Pay yourself a car payment by putting that in savings instead of just absorbing it in your budget, and then buy the next one with cash.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, because otherwise, I mean, this is what we call being upside down on your vehicle, right? You owe more than what the car's worth. And it means that even though you're driving a newer car, if you trade it in, you're still paying the old one.
Yes. Right. Absolutely. You're paying both cars off now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then a big one that I think, not just financially, but in general, I think would be really awesome to learn from my mistake, definitely, and others that I know, is another mistake is failing to set goals. If you don't know where you're going, if you don't know where you're headed, then you're just kind of at the mercy of life. If you set goals for yourself, whether it's your job, whether it's your finances, your health, and you put those on paper, it has an impact. There's something magical about putting things on paper. And that's why we're big on plans being on paper, because it has such an impact to you actually making progress towards them.
Yeah. And you know, I find a lot of value in this, because this is something that I actually really like to talk to my cousins about, probably more than they want me to talk about.
You get into this career and it's almost like you can't help yourself. In every conversation, you can find a financial principle.
Exactly. Exactly. Anyone. And so I keep telling them over and over, okay, yeah, you want to have a budget, you want to set goals, you know, all these things, because that, you know, all leads to purpose. And, you know, I teach them all the time, right, that we all have valuable things to manage, right? We've got, and I tell them the importance of managing these things, right? So you've got money, you've got time, you've got talent, you've got knowledge, right? And we all have these, you know, different degrees. You know, not everybody has the same amount of money. We all have the same amount of time. Mm-hmm. We all have different talents, that kind of thing. And we trade, you know, each one of these for different things, whether it be, you know, trading our time for money, trading our talent for money, trading our knowledge for money, right? In this industry is kind of what we do. And how important that is. You know, the Bible tells us that, to love with all our, the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, right? And when you think about it, you know, money, time, talent, knowledge, right? That whatever you're spending those things in, that's what you love.
Yeah.
Right. So when we talk about purpose and goal setting, we're really wanting you to make sure that you are spending, you know, those things on what you love, because ultimately that's what's going to help you out. So yeah, I mean, it's huge.
All right. So I'm going to give my two cents. And that is that it's never too late to start something new. If you have regrets, depending on how you want to spell it, make changes today. Start today. Pick one thing and make your future better.
Yeah. Yeah. And I would say, you know, going back to that question, what do you love? Mm-hmm. Right. You will never regret making progress towards what you love, right? Towards your goals. So set them today and get going.
Well, thank you guys so much for joining us on the Talking Sense podcast today. That's our two cents on living with no regrets. Please join us in our next episode when we talk about buying a new car, which we kind of covered. We're going to go into more later.
Yes.
See ya.
Thanks for listening to Talking Sense. And if you like what you hear, make sure and subscribe to the podcast to get all the newest episodes.
The Jim Walt team is available to you 24/7 at info@getreadyforthefuture.com. Or you can call our offices at 866-653-PLAN. That's 866-653-7526.
And while we like to have fun here, we're also financial advisors, and that means disclosures. You should personally consult a financial advisor before making any investment, and no strategy can assure success.
Jim Walt Financial Advisors is an Arkansas registered investment advisor with securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.